Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquette. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition and another, let's call it choppy week for markets, for metals. Pretty much everything that I'm seeing is moving more and more in tandem. We seem to have had a little bit more, I guess, short-term optimism, or at least a little bit more money put into play into the markets, as we are seeing some of the, let's say, more speculative areas move slightly higher. But this bounce that I think a lot of people were thinking was due for these markets, it's a bit weaker than I expected it to be. We're going to cover a lot of the markets and get into some of the metals on this weekend show. We are kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, let's start with the U.S. equity markets. We look at something like the S&P. That's up about 5% this month, and just this week, about 3.5% as we are recording this after the close of the markets on Thursday. So, again, a bit of a bounce, but still kind of weak summer trading, all within what seems like still a very much bear market. What's your takeaway from at least a little bit of money being put to work this week in the markets?
Yeah, sure, Corey. Thanks. What we're seeing is, in our view, according to our proprietary stuff, is not that convincing in terms of putting in or evidence that we have put in a sustainable and durable bottom, and that we're embarking on a longer, you know, intermediate term or longer term rally. This point, there were a lot durable intermediate term lows. We were missing a lot of boxes in terms of a high confidence intermediate term low at the recent lows in June and July. So we're not convinced in terms of the sense that we made in an intermediate term low, missing those key criteria. And on the other hand, we have, according to our proprietary model, we're missing some key indicators, especially one of our indicators pertaining to a combination of breadth and momentum that has typically kept us on the right side of the market, even when other indicators are whippy or get whiplash. And that still has refused to turn higher, which tells us that, you know, there's still risk to the downside, even if we do continue up in the near term, because we have made some technical strides, some technical progress on the charts anyway. That does open up a little bit further short-term upside, but in the grand scheme of things, there's still enough risk out there that we don't see any reason to get aggressive or jump in or chase prices higher at this point. Like I said, there might be some further short-term upside, but in the grand scheme of things, I think the risk is still substantial that we do go back down to the lows or even hit new lows before establishing the signs that a more durable, more sustainable intermediate-term low is put in. So right now, we're still fairly defensive in our portfolio, which means, you know, we've not been killing it necessarily over the last week or so, but we're fine with that. We'll wait for evidence to appear that the risk reward is conducive for us to get more aggressive, and we're just not there yet, according to our model.
Yeah, Dana, it sounds like you're in alignment with a lot of the other guests we've talked to and a lot of the other fund managers that are seeing some upward movement, but not a lot of momentum, not good breadth across the board, and maybe aren't convinced that we saw a sustainable bottom just a little while ago. And so some of them are actually looking to short the markets here. Are there any sectors, though, out of the different sectors you follow that in the general markets that you do feel good about or that you are doing maybe some short-term trading on?
Well, there's some areas short-term basis that made some that opens up near-term upside. The longer-term, still not bullish on tech and small caps, but in the near term, they did have they have made the most progress, perhaps along with the growth side of the market. So, in the near term, that progress has certainly pulled in some more money off the sideline and has opened up on the charts at least a little bit more room to the upside. So from a trade standpoint, and we're seeing some other areas of the market that have struggled to make any progress, some of the expensive names, and also looking at the financials have struggled to make any progress to the upside. So financials right now to us is offering a decent shorting opportunity here. We're looking, especially if rates do come in here in the near term, which I think is not a bad bet. Even though we're long-term bond bears, we think rates go up for a long time in the near term, would not surprise us to see them back up a little bit. And that should be a bit of a headwind in terms of financials in addition to the technical chart resistance that they're seeing right now. So that's one sector that might be a decent shorting opportunity at this point.
Okay. Dana, from a big picture standpoint, though, how do you view the discrepancy or the value proposition between growth or value? We saw growth dominate for most of the last decade plus. Value started to come into the picture over the shorter period of time as more, I guess, weakness came into the market, or we saw this rotation of money. Now, a lot has been sold off. What do you like better in the longer term, growth or value?
Well, I think you asked the right questions. The matter of duration, rewinding, you saw growth a long time, the last decade or even two decades. You saw earlier this year value kind of take the helm and reverse that trend. So I think from a longer term perspective, I would still put value in the lead versus growth, and an intermediate to longer term perspective on a short term basis, you're definitely seeing growth snap back a little bit sharper versus value. I think just because obviously growth got hammered worse than value did. Value held up pretty well until the past couple months when it sold off. So you're seeing a snapback in growth right now. Do I think it's sustainable? No. Does it have a little bit more room to go in the near term? Perhaps, but certainly would not be focusing on that on the growth side of the market for as a target for any, longer term positions that we'd put on.
Yeah, Dana, we did see a lot of the movement out of growth into the value sectors like utilities or like healthcare, and even into energy and the precious metals. But we have seen a lot of those start giving up the ghost and rolling over. When we look at something like the precious metals, gold, silver, the gold mining stocks, they've had a pretty rough go of it the last few months. I know you follow that space. What's your outlook on the precious metals right now?
Yeah, our outlook is the same as it's been, for some time. And that is, we saw the rally in the precious metals complex into 2020. A couple of years ago, we saw that ran up right to pretty much match the high from a decade earlier. So the move over the last couple of years we view as kind of consolidating. That move, that the big rally we saw from 2016 to 2020. So pretty much gathering fuel for what could be the next big up leg in the bull market that began back in the middle of last decade. So we do still see the precious metals complex as a buying opportunity. We do think that it eventually goes back to the highs, actually hits new highs and puts in that next up leg.
All right, so maybe a little bit of optimism, I guess, for the precious metals bulls, but yeah, either way, it's been a tough market for a lot of different sectors, and unfortunately, we're just not getting some strong bounces to sell into. We're going to be right back, so everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Dana Lyons.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.com. KEReport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with fund manager Dana Lyons. Now, Dana, tail end of last segment, you outlined a medium to long-term scenario of a bit more bullishness for the precious metals complex. I always like to look at both sides of the coin. So what would happen on the downside to negate that bullishness? Any key levels that we should be watching for that, again, could turn you more bearish rather than bullish?
Obviously, price action, which could happen, you know, if GLD, gold can't form some sort of a low here around 157, the mid-150s in GLD, then certainly have risk down towards 135, which would be ultimately the lowest level I'd like to see GLD hit. If we do break the 150s here decisively, then we would trim back our position with the expectations that perhaps those 130s do come into play eventually. So we'll take it step by step right now. I think it's a decent chance we hold here, rally back up in the mid-160s to 170, probably trim some of our position at that point just in case we do end up failing here. So in the short term, I think it's a good risk-reward entry point here. If that is the case, I think eventually it becomes a good intermediate to longer term entry point. Obviously, we'll have some resistance in past 2 years of price action to get through, but we have been adding back some exposure here. So I think, like I said, I think it's a good entry point. If it fails, then we'll reassess and potentially hit that 130s level again, and we'll start buying back again there.
Well, Dana, let's shift over to the other commodities. I know we've had a big run earlier in the year and everything from oil to the base metals to the grains. I know you follow the oil sector. You look at copper as a base metal. You look at wheat as one of the lead indicators in the soft commodities. Any thoughts on the rest of the commodity complex, which has rolled over the last couple months? Is it near a bottom as well, or what's your outlook?
Yeah, so the commodities seem to be sort of the reverse of the equity market. So we're seeing a counter trend bounce in equities, which eventually will be looking to sell for some more ahead of some more weakness. On the other hand, we're seeing commodities, which had the big spike early in the year. Right now, we're seeing the downside momentum to the downside. So we think there's a little bit more testing certainly to be done on the downside in commodities. So any dead cat bounce here in most of the commodity space, we'd be looking to sell into or maybe even try some short trades in whether it's the energy space with oil and natural gas or even the grain. So eventually, much like the precious metals complex, I think we do find a bottom and put in a new up leg to the longer-term bull market. But in the near term, momentum is down, so we'd be sellers into bounces right now in the near term in most of the commodities.
So, Dana, when I brought this in, I made the comment that a lot of different sectors, a lot of different markets are kind of trading in lockstep with each other. There seems to be this general sell environment across the board, but then a general rebound environment like we saw today or this week. Is that going to continue in your eyes, these markets broadly being in a way correlated to each other without certain sectors truly taking the lead and completely breaking out either up or down?
Well, I think that type of action, that type of behavior that you describe is very emblematic of a bear market, you know, a longer term bear market where a lot of the action is emotionally driven. So you tend to see high correlations. You tend to see relative strength break down. You see more or less all the sectors moving together. So I think that's a lot of what we've been seeing is, like I mentioned, sign of a longer-term bear market that's in place. So right now you're seeing short-term swings, and we'll probably continue to see that a little bit as we're seeing some counter-trend action. But overall, our general thesis that is that the longer-term bear market is still you know, in force, and I think it's we're eventually going to see more downside action, new lows. So as long as that bear market is pretty much the overriding force, I think you're going to continue to see, you know, those high correlations as opposed to, you know, some high relative strength areas that are, you know, moving to new highs where others are selling off or hitting new lows. I think you're going to see more or less a lot of the asset classes or a lot of the equity sectors pretty much trading in lockstep or at least directionally the same.
Yeah, Dana, and I know you don't follow a lot of the macro news when you're looking at your analysis. You just let the quantitative analysis and technical analysis do the work for you. But a lot of this weakness we're seeing in this bear market action is predicated on the Fed wanting to hurt the demand side of things by raising their interest rates and thus crushing the demand side. They've been effective in doing that. We have seen almost everything pull down except the U.S. dollar, and it seems like on days when the U.S. dollar is down, everything else rallies. We've got another Fed rate hike next week, so we'll see whether that happens. But it plays into the bond market. I know you do follow the bond market, so give us your outlook on, I guess, interest rates and bonds.
Sure. Like we've talked about for a while, the last couple of years, our thought is, you know, the approximate 60-year interest rate cycle did bottom back in 2020, which means, you know, after a 40-year down move, we're probably going to see, if history is a guide, we're probably going to see interest rates generally trend upward for probably several decades, you know, which might sound kind of shocking or alarming to some people, but the cycle has been pretty consistent. And if a low is in place, then, yeah, we do expect rates to trend higher for several decades. Obviously, it's not going to be straight up, and potentially we did see a good inflection point, maybe an inflection top last month. It would not surprise us to see rates back up a little bit, but I think that will present the next good shorting opportunity. So on the 10-year, we do have pretty good support at 275, which it held earlier this month. And we did add to our shorts there. If we break that level, I think the level where we back up the truck on shorts would be around 230. So if we do see a pullback, we'll certainly be looking to load up on our shorts and the 10-year and even the 30-year at that point. So would not be surprising to us to see that happen. And like I said, if it does, we'll be shorting it, looking for the next big up leg in this new longer-term bull market in interest rates, bear market, and prices.
All right, Dana. Appreciate you kicking off this weekend show. Nice overview of where these markets stand, some of your trading strategies. Again, it seems to be this market, you've used this term before, this is a market to try to hit singles, not home runs in, because of the volatility and because it still does seem like we are in this general bear market, which has been around all year long. Dana, thank you again for your time on this weekend show. We'll chat in another couple weeks. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
USA Radio News.
President Biden made his first live appearance virtually since he was diagnosed with COVID-19, participating in a meeting with his economic team on gas prices.
Let me start by apologizing my voice. I'm feeling much better than I sound.
Mr. Biden has been isolating in the White House residence, and he and the people around him have been emphasizing the 79-year-old president is hard at work for the American people. A fast-moving wildfire near Yosemite National Park has erupted, prompting evacuations, even as firefighters make progress against an earlier blaze that burned to the edge of giant sequoia trees. This is USA Radio News. The White House announced that the U.S. is sending an additional $270 million in security assistance to Ukraine, a package that will include additional medium-range rocket systems and tactical drones. Ukraine forces have used U.S.-made rocket launchers and tactical drones to destroy dozens of Russian targets and hold at bay Russia's larger and more heavily equipped forces. There has been several arrests for cryptocurrency fraud.
Federal prosecutors are announcing the first insider trading case involving cryptocurrency. U.S. prosecutors in New York City said Thursday that a former product manager for Coinbase and two others have been charged with wire fraud. A U.S. attorney in Manhattan said, fraud is fraud whether it occurs on the blockchain or on Wall Street. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that segment with Dana Lyons as we really dove into different markets and how Dana is trading those more from a fund manager slash short-term trader perspective. We are now chatting with Axel Merck, President and Chief Investment Officer of Merck Investments. Now, Axel, it's been, I believe, a couple months since we last had you on the show. Over that couple months, we've seen a lot of the same in terms of market sell-offs and general bear market action. It is now, though, a bit more accepted that this is a full-blown bear market. A lot of people are pointing to some of the recent economic data saying the U.S. is in a recession right now, and everything, of course, ties back to the Fed and their policy. Let's start with the general acceptance that this is a bear market. Axel, how are you treating, how are you viewing this bear market that seems to be, at least right now, fairly orderly, taking a stair-step pattern down with everything being pulled down lower?
Yeah, Corey, great to be with you again. When you say recession, orderly, this all sounds very linear, and this market is anything but linear because things are all over the place. Let's start out with recession. Well, we'll probably have two negative quarters of GDP growth, or lack of growth, but the bureaucrats actually are deciding on what is a recession in the U.S., and they'll tell us in a year or so that this is not a recession because they will look at not GDP growth, but a whole metric of numbers, and guess what? They're not all pointing to recession. Does it matter? Right? Does it matter whether the bureaucrats tell us whether recession is or not? But part of the reason why we care about recessions, aside from us keeping our jobs, is that risk assets, the S&P 500 and the like, tend to do better during economic expansions. And there, of course, yeah, part of it is we got to have a look at the sledgehammer called the Federal Reserve. And you point out the bear market, right? Well, there's always a bear market somewhere, I suppose. That's how the saying goes, I think. There's a lot of relief currently in the markets. But the reason I caution about any move, really, is because once inflation is high, which we have, nothing is linear anymore. We are unleashing a rather unstable dynamic. And so we'll feel good for a few days or maybe weeks even, and then we'll get whacked. And whatever theory you have, you got to throw out of the window. And part of it is, if you just think about where we are, right? We've had high inflation. Federal Reserve has started to hike rates. And so now we're going to come into this era where the year-over-year comparisons are going to get such that the inflation numbers are going to tick down, but the economic numbers are going to worsen. And guess what? We may have reached peak hawkishness. And so all of that is going to throw your view of the markets upside down every few weeks as we go back and forth. And then even as inflation goes down, it's not going to go down to 2%. It's going to be quite volatile in the months to come.
Well, Axel, when we talked last time, you had just launched your stagflation ETF, and we had the ingredients mostly there for stagflation, the high inflation you've mentioned. We have the high energy prices, kind of reminiscent of what we saw in the 1970s. We have the slowing growth in the GDP, but over the last, let's say, 3 to 6 months, we've started seeing more and more signals that the labor markets are weakening. So we're seeing tech companies lay people off or freeze hiring. We're seeing small businesses shed workers for the last 6 months in a row. We're seeing the weekly jobless claims up about 4 months in a row. Do you think the ingredients are there that we are in stagflation, and could that lead to a prolonged sluggish period where they just can't keep hiking as aggressively as they plan to?
So when we launched the Merck Stagflation ETF in May, we didn't launch it because we think there would be stagflation for a week or for a month. If you look back into the 1970s, we had stagflation for a decade plus, so late 60s and in the early 80s. And by the way, we designed the ETF that hopefully in a normal environment, the stagflation ETF is going to behave more like a fixed income fund, we just have extra juice in a stagflationary environment. But the reason why stagflationary periods last that long is because of what I just alluded to. It is not linear. When you're faced with a supply shock, supply shocks are stagflationary. Inflation goes up, labor markets tend to weaken. The reaction by policymakers that is politically acceptable is economically the wrong thing to do. And you've talked about it, right? When you give people a stimulus check, and obviously many people lost their job through no fault of their own, but when you overstimulate the economy, but you cannot fix a supply problem, the only thing you can do is you can push up prices. And so similar with the price controls or just look at what's happening in energy right now, how we may be restricting supply with the sort of policies we have in the U.S. rather than trying to boost it. And that is why stagflation lasts for a while. And also we have the stop and go Fed, at least a very severe risk of that, that they're going to say, all right, we have peak hawkishness now because the economy is slowing down and inflation numbers are quite possibly going to improve a little bit, right? And then they take the foot away from the brakes. We had Bernanke, the former Fed chair, write an editorial in the Wall Street Journal the other day. Oh, don't worry. We know so much more in the 1970s. Well, by all means, we might know a little bit more, but they're human beings. They're human beings at on the fiscal side. They're human beings on the Federal Reserve side. And if we have a weakening economy, there's got to be a lot of pressure to do something about it. And then on top of that, if some of the inflation numbers, the year-over-year comparisons improve a little bit, I'm saying they're going to be great, but they're going to say, oh, we'll pause, we'll wait. And so the temptation to do the wrong thing is just so incredibly high that the risk of stagflation lasting many years is in my view, is very, very elevated.
So, Axel, the big theme that I'm getting from you here is this peak hawkishness term. And if that is true, if the Fed does at least slow down some of their rate hikes, who knows if they're going to fully stop or even start cutting rates, What does that look like in terms of capital flows? I ask this because when the Fed was keeping rates low, injecting money into the system, we saw risk assets move higher. Tech sector was moving higher. Even stuff like crypto was moving higher. It's a very different environment now. What does the peak hawkishness look like to you? If we're not hiking as high or as much, but maybe the Fed isn't just throwing money back into the markets.
So first, some historic context. Historically, the market prices in rate hikes much longer than they happen in practice. And that's usually because a recession comes, quote unquote, out of the blue. There's some disruption. And so all the good intentions to continue to hike rates are going to be thrown out the window. Just a few weeks ago, the market was pricing in that we'd have rate hikes a few months ago until last summer, then last spring, then last December. And as of when we're speaking, the December rate hike is dropped. The yards of a December rate hike has dropped below 50%. And so we are already kind of moving further and further in that direction. And that's just out of today's perspective. What I'm alleging is that right now, of course, the Federal Reserve has egg in their face. They have to hike rates presumably by 75 basis points this month. And then in late August, Mr. Powell will speak at Jackson Hole and will have to kind of say how tough they're going to be. But then the next Fed meeting is not until late September, September 21st. And by then, we'll have more shoes dropping on economic data. I mean, we just had, and I'm not giving company recommendations, Federal Express is going to stop deliveries on Sunday because they don't have enough business. We had AT&T's indicate people don't pay their phone bills anymore. Those are indications of a slowing economy. Now, I'm not suggesting they're going to lower rates. I don't think they're going to lower rates anytime soon unless there's something much more serious coming along. But they'll pause. You also have folks at the Fed who have been saying, all right, it's time to caution. The reason that the Federal Reserve seems to be micromanaging expectations is they don't want the market to get ahead of itself because they're really worried about financial conditions tightening too much. And just as a reminder, the whole point of hiking rates is to, quote unquote, tighten financial conditions to slow down economic growth.
Which is exactly what the Fed is doing, slowing down economic growth, all trying to slow inflation. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be interesting next week to see what the Fed does. Axel, we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327. Or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're wrapping up the show again, continuing to chat with Axel Merck. Now, Axel, we talked a lot about what the Fed was going to do in the next 1 to 2 meetings. Let's talk about market reaction. When we do get closer to that point, whether it's near the tail end of this year, next year, whenever that might be, when the Fed actually, let's say, stops hiking rates, maybe even starts cutting rates. You said markets are forward-looking. What sniffs that out first? What markets benefit in your eyes the most? Or, quite simply, do all markets rise together when there's more available capital?
Well, what you see is what you get. I allege we already see this unfold in the markets. And it's part of the reason why gold, at least as we're talking today, is again bouncing back, because the market is pricing in more that the peak might be behind us, right? If you also, if you look back at how high the federal funds rate should have gone, might have gone, we're down from that peak. And so on the equity side, we obviously have the economic slowdown as well. On a day like today, precious metals are outperforming equities. But let's not forget, this is not linear, right? We will have cross currents. Whatever your view is how it is going to unfold, your views is going to be challenged in the coming weeks and months, because there will be some data that's going to be high, some low. What you want to do is you want to have a clear picture of where you think things are going to go, and then you want to cross-check it and see whether your thesis gets completely debunked or just challenged, because otherwise you're just going to be almost certainly losing money as you change your point of view all the time. By the way, just on that note, we did have the European Central Bank just raise rates, a little higher than was priced in. And so we are in a situation now where the Federal Reserve may be at or past peak hawkishness, and we have some other central banks, notably Europeans, are only getting started on that. I'm not suggesting that the Europeans are going to go very high, but this talk about the dollar going through the roof and everything, there's a lot of bad news priced into Europe. Now, Europe is a mess by all means, but there's a price for that. It's in Russia's interest to keep gas flowing just as much as it is in Europe's interest to receive that gas. And so maybe, just maybe, they will continue to hike a little bit more. They also, by the way, have tools to do their firefighting, to bail out the periphery. And so I wouldn't be surprised that in the U.S. we might have reached peak hawkishness. We're late cycle, which is historically pretty good for precious metals. They obviously, some of them have been pretty beaten, especially on the mining side. And then on the equity side, I think we may see continued rotation, right? The darlings of the previous cycle may continue to suffer, but there will be some value stocks that presumably will do well. As a reminder, after 2000, after the year 2000, small cap value actually had positive performance, whereas the growth stocks did terribly. I'm not giving investment advice here, but just as I said before, there's a bear market always anywhere. There's probably a bull market somewhere all the time.
Just waiting for that next bull market, or at least some sectors to start outperforming. But Axel, is there one, two sectors, markets that you're going to be watching in terms of using them as a barometer to see just how enticed investors will be to get back into either risk assets or risk off assets?
Well, sure. We look at all kinds of sentiment indicators. We're looking at breadth and depth in the markets, and keep in mind, right? This is late July, August coming up. We have a briefing every morning, and on the mining side, but that no news anywhere, and that's because the brokers are all on vacation. Everybody's on vacation, so nothing happens when everybody is on vacation, and that obviously has impact on liquidity. Now that said, dictators in the world love to start invasions and crises in August when everybody else is on vacation. So it doesn't mean there's no risk in the market. But yes, you do want to look at how risk sentiment is in different spaces. Overall, markets are functioning reasonably normally right now, but the liquidity is quite low.
Well, Axel, what about the commodity sector? Because if we do go into a more recessionary period or even an extended stagflation where there's just sluggish growth, a lot of people would suggest that the economies would get hit. But if we continue to see all the supply shortages in so many commodities, whether it's the base metals or even in energy, there's really not enough supply. So even though the Fed is killing the demand side, where's the supply going to come from? How do you think that all balances out in the commodity sector?
Well, in our stagflation ETF, we invest in oil, gold, real estate, and inflation-protected securities. And then the reason on the commodity side we invest in oil and gold is because they, in a 70-style environment, have done well. Now, clearly, oil is off from the peak, but it's, let's assume, I mean, we haven't talked about China, right? They want to spend $1 trillion to reflate their economy. There is going to be demand for these things. Who knows what's going to happen with the gas supply in Europe, but there's going to be tension for an extended period. And so the news, and take the 1970s, right? Oil prices after the oil crisis, they didn't just plunge and go back down to earth. It's going to be volatile. Now, on the broader scope, we're supposed to be transitioning to this green economy. Well, good luck with that, right? Because all these critical minerals we need for that, how are you going to produce enough of those? We are looking into how to help finance some of the miners, and please feel free to reach out to us to see how you can participate in that potentially. But that's not easy to ramp up that production there. Everybody has their wonderful calendars on when they want to get rid of the combustion engine and electrify the grid. And we took since the Industrial Revolution to get to where we are now. You cannot change that economic model globally in that shorter period. And so, yes, there will be squeezes, which I say squeezes because it's not just prices going high. There's going to be volatility as there's going to be a battle for those sort of resources.
Axel, how's the dollar playing into all this? Because you mentioned earlier, look, the dollar has been moving higher. There are even still some dollar bulls that think the dollar will go much higher from here. We've seen a little bit of softness, but dollar is still over 106 on the index. Do you see continued strength for the dollar even if we are at this peak hawkishness?
Well, on a historic basis, on a purchasing power basis, the dollar is significantly overvalued. Now, that said, things can be overvalued longer than you can stay solvent, right? That things can be irrational for a long time. That said, because I think we've reached this peak hawkishness, I would not be surprised if we've seen the peak in the dollar. We're getting used to the war in Ukraine, and as messy as the European energy policy is, I mentioned Europe because in the dollar index, at least, the euro is a huge weighting. they will muddle through this, presumably, somehow. Obviously, if Russia turns up the gas, all bets are off. We have Tiff Macklem up where you are is just tight rates, more than was priced into the market, right? So there's an appetite for higher rates in other parts of the world. And the U.S., as hawkish as they appear right now, might be the lagging one. Now, in a recession, that is dollar positive historically, because it's in an economic expansion, people borrow dollars, which is kind of a short of the dollar. And a recession is like a short squeeze. The dollar tends to benefit. But at some point, that's going to fizzle out. And not sure whether we are there quite yet. But if I had to take a bet where the dollar is a year from now, I would think the odds of being lower than today are significantly above 50%.
What about the bond market? For four decades, it was the place people went for safety. It was considered a safe haven. For four decades, people only knew, you know, rates kept coming down and bonds kept going up. Well, we saw that reverse in 2020 in the summer where, you know, the yields dropped to about 40 bips. And since then, yields have aggressively risen the last 2 years, and bond prices have cratered. Have we entered a new era where bonds are no longer a safe haven?
Yes, it's gotten complicated, as they say, right? The one perfect investment strategy had been the risk parity approach, where you rebalance based on volatility. And a lot of leveraged players have been in there making gazillions of money for decades, except when you have high inflation, those sort of strategies break down. They have to delever. They have been some of the worst performing strategies. And I mention that is because a lot of things that people do with bonds don't work anymore. Now, clearly, you have some pension funds that will always need to buy bonds and whatnot. And in our circulation ETF, we do invest in TIPS. They do have some interest rate risk. And so there is a place in some portfolios for certain purposes. But the traditional asset allocation is very difficult. I mean, that's part of the reason why in a stagflation period, bonds don't do so well, equities don't do so well. But what do you do? Mentioned we have real estate in our stagflation ETF, and part of it is because rents are likely to continue going up even in a stagflationary environment.
All right, Axel, we're going to wrap it up here, but it sure does not sound like smooth sailing for investors through the rest of this year, even into next year. We'll see how long this environment sticks around. Axel, I appreciate your time on this weekend show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Please be sure to visit our website, kereport.com. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.